Welcome to the podcast. I am so excited that you've joined us, and we are going to be talking with a friend of mine, Ben Sinclair. You'll hear me introduce him. And the reason I'm telling you all this is that we tried for quite a while to do the interview using our app, and for some reason it just would not work. And it's the first time that's ever happened, and we think perhaps it might have been because he was in a different country. So we did it the old-fashioned way. We just recorded a phone conversation between the two of us, so the quality is not what it could have been, but it's clear enough to understand, and I really hope you'll listen all the way to the end because he has some excellent observations all throughout. And so here's the interview with Ben Sinclair.
Getting to know more about God and His Word, and meeting some interesting people along the way. This is the Ben Everson Podcast.
Friends and listeners, I am so excited to come to you on this podcast and introduce to you a friend of mine, and it's been a few decades now. Can you believe that, Ben?
It's been a while.
Yeah. Ben Sinclair, and missionary to Cameroon, and he was a team leader for a singing group on which I met my wife. And so that was back in the day, back in days of Bible college, and it's so exciting to be able to talk with you. And we always enjoy the fellowship that we have, the rare times over the years that we've been able to do so. But thanks so much for taking time. We appreciate it.
Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah. Well, I have called you here in the middle of some training that you're getting, language school in Quebec, if I'm not mistaken. Did I get that right?
That's right. Our whole family's up here in Quebec, and like most students in the States, we're doing most of our classes online, even though the teacher is literally right across the street.
Oh, wow.
We're in a dormitory apartment, and so we're on the campus. But
oh,
yeah, we're
wow.
Studying French, and we're supposed to be here till the end of the year, and Lord willing, early next year, head back to Cameroon. So that's kind of the plan.
Oh, wow. Well, I didn't even think about the fact that you might have to be doing things online like other folks are doing down here in the States right now. But could you just give us a quick summary as to when you went to Cameroon and what you saw God do over there over the course of the last, wow, it's since 20 years.
Yes, it has. We were joined up with Baptist World Mission just almost exactly 19 years ago in February, and we have been church planting there in Cameroon, involved in a Bible college, the Lord's just doing incredible things there. We've been directly involved in starting five churches. We've been involved in training national Cameroonians who are going out across Cameroon. And also, there's one graduate from the Bible Institute ministering in Nigeria right now because there is a civil war in Cameroon.
Mm-hmm.
And there are tens of thousands of refugees fleeing Cameroon into Nigeria. And so one of those men is just moved his family from Cameroon to Nigeria, and he is ministering primarily to the Cameroonian refugees there in Nigeria. It's an incredible, incredible thing. So those men from that Bible Institute have started, well, I don't know, maybe dozens of churches across Cameroon, and it's just,
wow.
Like I said, it's just exciting to see what God is doing now from Cameroon and branching out into other countries in West and hopefully Central Africa and across the continent. That's kind of our long-term desire.
Oh, that's, wow, that's really incredible. And to hear of these men going out and starting all those churches, and I really think that ought to challenge those of us who are here in the Western world, the United States. We get upset if, you know, we've got to, if we don't get good enough cell phone reception or somebody misses, I ordered food tonight and didn't get my sauces with my food. You know, that's the level sometimes we get frustrated at. And here's a brother moving his whole family so he can minister to refugees. What a challenge
that is. Well, I did want to ask you, secondly, that some people may already know this. Some may not realize that that I'm talking to you. But, of course, not that long ago, our brother in Christ went home to be with the Lord, Charles Wesco. And I don't want to make you go back into all that, but you have shared with colleges and churches just a testimony of what God has done through that. Would you mind just walking us through that? It doesn't have to be very long. I don't want to tire you out, brother. But would you mind just walking some folks with? Yeah, go ahead.
So for some years, while we were there in Cameroon, we were really begging the Lord of the harvest to raise up more laborers for Cameroon. And we could see, as I said, how strategic Cameroon is for reaching the rest of the continent, and just praying for co-laborers specifically who might come along and work with us. And the Lord called Charles and Wesco to Cameroon. It was really totally a God thing, the way he put us together, and the Lord called them to Cameroon. And so during their pre-field ministry or deputation, that's when this civil unrest, which kind of evolved into a civil war, happened. And so we were all praying, Lord, you know, we're hearing a lot of gunshots in the background time after time, and we have to fall ahead, and we have to abide by, you know, when the separatists call a special day, we have to stay inside. And when the government says this is a no movement day, we abide by that. And do you really want us to stay here? And the Lord confirmed all around with our pastor and those that we were praying with, and as we sought the scriptures, that, yeah, peace is only going to come to Cameroon through the gospel of peace, not through protests and fighting and bullets and everything else going on. And so the Lord gave us perfect peace to remain there, and the Wescos finished up their deputation, and they arrived in Cameroon, and they were getting settled in, just really getting into their home and getting settled. And then actually 17 months ago today, on the 30th of October, we were on our way to town. Brother Charles was sitting next to me in my car, and his wife and their son were in the back seat, and our car was kind of attacked. There were a couple shots, and Brother Charles went home to be with the Lord right there on our, probably on our way to the hospital that day. And if people are interested in a little bit more detail and his life and Stephanie's life, she actually just put out a book last week called "To Die Is Gain."
Oh,
by
okay.
Stephanie Wesco.
Okay.
And that has really been going out. I talked to my mother this morning, and she said, "I started reading that at 1 o'clock this morning, and I heard your father in the morning, and I wondered what he was doing up in the night, and discovered I'd been reading the book all night."
Wow. Amen.
It's definitely a page turner, and I've heard several people say it's hard to put down, and I would encourage your listeners, if they're interested, "To Die Is Gain" by Stephanie Wesco might fill in a lot of the details of that whole situation.
And we'll put that information, too, on our anchor.fm page. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, I don't know if it includes the show notes or not. I'll have to check on that. But you can certainly, on the Anchor site, you can see those notes, and we'll put a link to that so that people can get that, or we'll put some more information there. Before we go to a break, can you summarize a little bit of how you've seen God move in response to what happened? A lot of people would call that a tragedy, and certainly we recognize that part of it. But God has used that and moved in people's hearts as a result, I've heard. Could you share a little bit of that with us?
Absolutely. I mentioned that we saw the Lord's hand and leading up to that, as you said, humanly a terrible day. And we have seen, well, we saw the Lord's hand in that day. I mean, to be honest, if I tried to describe the situation, frankly speaking, there's no way any of us should have gotten out unscathed. And and Brother Charles took the brunt of that, and as we already said, he went home to be with the Lord. But the rest of us, the other three of us in that vehicle, got out without a scratch. I mean, we're talking 12-gauge shotgun, we're talking flying glass everywhere, and none of us even had a scratch. It was, we saw the Lord's hand in that, and we have seen his hand since then. On the way back, of course, we were evacuated, and my family and the Wesco family and a young lady with them who was there helping them get situated, we got on an airplane back to the States, and I'm sitting on the airplane asking the Lord, Lord, we know we were in your will. We know we are in your will. What are you doing? I mean, we know you work all things together for good, and we don't see any good in this. So what do you want us to do? We're yours. What do you want us to do? And on that airplane on the way back to Indiana, the Lord just really put a burden in my heart to take the testimony and challenge young people across the country with the Great Commission afresh and anew. And so the entire year, 2019, the Lord opened up doors all across the country, from California and the West to the East Coast, and even a week in Puerto Rico. We had the privilege of just sharing Brother Charles' life testimony and a challenge from Mark 16:15 and the Great Commission. And during those 12 months, about 100 meetings, we saw more than a dozen people trust Christ. We saw scores of college students and young people and not so young people surrendering their lives to missions. And we've been praying since the memorial service for Brother Wesco that the Lord would call and send 100 missionaries to Cameroon. And in that year, we saw 25 people called to Cameroon.
Amen.
And so we're still praying for 75 more. When Hudson Taylor prayed for 100 missionaries to China, I think it was 7 or 8 years, the Lord raised up 100 missionaries for China. And we don't know his timetable, but we are trusting the Lord for 100 missionaries for Cameroon who will train and make disciples to go out across the continent of Africa.
Amen. That's almost like it's almost like a down payment from the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, well, that's exciting. And we're going to talk with Ben Sinclair, if you're just joining us, a friend of ours. I said mine. You are a friend of mine, but a friend of my wife's as well. And your wife, we just love fellowship with your family. And we do keep up with you online, too. Some of the silly videos even that your kids are doing are similar to our kids. So that's great. We're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, I'm going to ask him some questions about the church, which you might find a little surprising when we come back from the break. So hang on tight. We'll be right back. We are with Ben Sinclair right now, and he and his family are really, they're veteran missionaries to Cameroon, and right now taking some time out to learn a new language so that you can minister in Cameroon to a whole different people group as well, right? I forgot to ask you that in the first segment, and I think that's important.
Yes, there are 300 different languages spoken in Cameroon, 300 different people groups, but the colonial history is there was a British section of 2 regions out of 10, and then a French section of the other 8 regions, and so we have been ministering in English and Pidgin languages all these years, and that is the section where the Civil War is taking place, the two English speaking or formerly British regions there are some separatists trying to separate, and so that's where the conflict is going on. The rest of Cameroon is completely business as usual, if I can put it that way.
Sure.
Things are moving as normal, and so we're trying to learn French so that we can go back and minister to those other hundreds of people groups that primarily speak French outside
Amen.
Of the family and school and so forth. Yep.
Well, that's exciting to see that God, in the middle of all this, is directing clearly to a new chapter and perhaps adding ministry as well. And to that end of God directing in unexpected circumstances, of course, here back in the States, I know you personally. You have a burden that that we, as God's people, no matter where we are on the planet, that we would yield to the Lord's will and get our eyes opened and off of ourselves. And I really think that this pandemic that they've officially called is disrupting so many people's lives, and it's got some potential to help us. And we already see that in the church, people being creative and such, and people going online. But this is what I want to zero in. You had written some comments on Facebook recently on social media, which is blah blah blah. I'm going to edit this part. I was, believe it or not, watching Amanda go get peanut butter, and the thought in my head went, "Man, I want some peanut butter," and it just like messed me up. Oh yes, yeah. Okay.
I'm gonna put some chocolates in there.
Oh my goodness, that is totally off my diet. Oh man. He says put some chocolate in it. Yeah, she put some sugar-free syrup in with it.
There are these cheap chocolate bars in Cameroon, and I love at night if I haven't had too many calories during the day to dig out the peanut butter and those chocolate bars in there. And that does it right there. That's,
well, maybe I'll leave this section in and make our listeners hungry by listening. Oh, well, turning the page here a little bit, I was really moved and challenged by some comments in an article that you wrote on Facebook, and I don't know if that's even a public thing or what it is, but I do know that there were some challenges that you had for the church. And do you see differences, first of all, do you see differences in how we think of church in the USA side of things versus where you've been serving on the mission field?
Yes, I think, of course, we know that the Bible defines the church, ecclesia, and we know that there is a biblical definition and interpretation of the church. But I do think different cultures view the idea of church differently. I remember, even in the States, I remember growing up, and as a little boy, somebody did that thing with the folded hands, you know, here's the church, and then they put up their pointer fingers, here's the steeple, and they open up, and then they wiggle our fingers, and here's all the people, you know? Yeah. And a lot of times we get the idea that church is a building. Even in the States, we refer to the church, and we're often talking about a building. I'll meet you at the church, or did you go to church, or, you know, these kind of things. And so, yeah, I think there are different cultures. In Cameroon, I was surprised when I arrived there to find out that church in Cameroon is what we would think of as a denomination or a convention. When somebody asks you, what church do you go to, they're not talking about a local church. They're not talking about what assembly are you a part of. They want to know your denomination.
Oh, wow.
The autonomy of a local church is completely unknown in Cameroon and really much of Africa. And so, yeah, we found out that the constitution in Cameroon gives religious freedom, but you have to be one of the 40 or whatever legal churches to have religious freedom. And by 40 churches, they're talking about these large denominations made up of hundreds and some probably thousands of what we would call churches, you know, these autonomous local churches that they just don't know anything about an autonomous local church. So yes, I was surprised when I got to Cameroon to find out, okay, when we see people saved early on, we're going to have to explain and teach what is a New Testament local church. And so that right in our discipleship material that we have, and of course when we're discipling people one-on-one, yes, we have to explain ecclesia, a called out assembly of believers. The church is not a building. The church is not a denomination or a convention. The church is a group of people who are believers, baptized, etc. And so, yes, we did find that the view of the church in Cameroon was quite different than what we had known or grew up with in the States. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that leads me right into my final question for you, and kind of the pinnacle here of the conversation, and in regards to the article that you had written. Do you see a possible weakness or a danger as a result of this unique time for the Western world, and how we have thought of church as that building? And of course, we're being forced out of the buildings. Do you think there's a weakness or a danger of our creativity right now? But then what happens after the virus? What happens after the strangeness leaves, whenever that may be? What are your thoughts on that? Do you mind sharing with us some of those?
Sure. I am very, very encouraged. You use the word creativity. I am very encouraged by the creativity. I mean, you and I are both Independent Baptists, and historically, Independent Baptists have not really been excited about creativity and new things. And so there's just a lot of new things happening, and I am encouraged. I am excited to see people saying, look, this is, we are the church. You know, it's not a building.
Yes.
We are the church. How can we adjust to continue to do what God has called us out to be and do? And I am encouraged by a lot of these creative things I would have never imagined, but things that are going on. I am encouraged by that. As you pointed out, of course, in everything that we do, we need to check it with the Bible and make sure, okay, is there a danger of this going astray or going a wrong direction? And I think that that is true. One thing that I noticed with some of my acquaintances who might not be, maybe they're new believers, or maybe they've not really been discipled or explained or taught what the church is, having the idea that, okay, some people have the idea, when I go to church and I sit in the pew and I listen to the pastor and I leave, that's church. I've done church check. I did my church for this week. And I was afraid that some of these people have not yet been discipled might get the idea that, hey, you know, I did what I did on Sunday. I sat on the couch. I was in my pajamas.
Right.
And the priest preached at me. And I did church. I did church online. And I was kind of thinking that if we as leaders, pastors, we aren't careful to reassure or confirm with our people, even some of the terminology being used, you know, our church is doing church online this week and things like that. If we're not careful with our terms, some people, especially the younger new believers, might get the idea that church is listening to a message and then I'm done. I was just afraid that some people might get online on Sunday and say, whoa, you know, there are a lot of really exciting, dynamic things going on online. And why would I want to go to this small church in the country, for example? They don't have a lot of programs, a lot of activities, when I can do church online.
Absolutely. Right.
So I just kind of threw out some cautions along those lines and just try to encourage pastors to be real careful in the terms that they use, and particularly make sure that we remember the church is not a place. The church is not even a program. The church is the people, the called out assembly. And going back to your question again, I really am excited to see, one brother pointed out to me and said, hey, you know, we can't meet, we can't assemble. A lot of people are struggling with how to exercise their spiritual gifts. But he said, you know what, when you have the Holy Spirit in you, you'll find a way to practice your spiritual gifts. You'll find a way to edify the believers and to be a witness for Christ. And that is so true. We have seen, as you said, again, creative, some really neat ways that people are encouraging believers and finding opportunities to witness, even though we have to stay, you know, 6 feet away from those that we're witnessing to. And so I am encouraged by that.
Well, those are good thoughts, and I really appreciate that. And those two things were the things that were brought out to me as I was reading. I have to admit, I was skimming because I was on my way to recording to record some of these things to send out to churches to encourage them. But I read it through, and you know, when we come out of this, one way or another, It's so important that we realize that, hey, yeah, we're kind of, it's kind of like running on a spare tire. And we got creative, and that is wonderful. But when we can come back together, there are some things that we can't do right now that only happen when we're able to be together as a church. And so we don't want to lose that specialness and uniqueness. Even though we pulled out the spare tire and we took the detour and such, and those are all good things. And then your observation about really church shopping is what I call that, when someone goes online and they say, oh wow, this production of a church broadcast is really professional. Maybe we'll kind of slide over to that one because it's not, you know, it's even in HD, you know, and, you know,
exactly what, go ahead.
Well, it's the cell phone delay. I did have the thought, brother, that maybe we could shoot a church service in 3D and give people 3D glasses, and then they could feel like they were really in the sanctuary. See, now someone's going to do that. I'm guaranteeing you someone's going to do that. Oh, boy. Well, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for sharing of your time. I know you're working through learning that language, and then you've got to have some downtime so that your brain's ready to go. It's amazing to me that after I've hit a certain age, the learning slows down a little bit. I can still do it, but it just doesn't stick quite like when I was 19 years old. So if you're listening, I won't give out any ages here, but Brother Ben and I are the same age. So pray for us.
No, pray for us.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, man. Well, please greet your wife and kids for us, and be praying for the Ben Sinclair family, that the Lord would continue to work in their lives and ministry. Join us next time on the podcast, where we're meeting folks, finding out more about God and His Word. Awesome, man. Thank you so much. That's perfect. That was great. Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Well, hey, you take care. And I've got two episodes in line before you. So yours will probably air in about a week, probably like April 8th or 9th or something like that. So,
yeah, I thought I probably shouldn't have mentioned the date, but again, I appreciate your patience.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah, it's totally fine. Hey, take care, get some good rest, and we'll catch up with you later.
Thanks again. Say hi to your family. Appreciate you, Ben.
Will do. Take care, brother.
Stay safe.
Bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us on the Ben Everson Podcast. Learn more at beneverson.com.